I'm Presley.
And I'm Connor.
And this is the Server Life Podcast, where we candidly talk about the glamorous lifestyle of the service industry.
We share some of our own stories, along with some of yours, so we can all laugh and realize that we are not alone in this.
So feel free to subscribe, stick around, and join the conversation.
We love reading your comments, especially when it's praise. For me. Hey guys, it's Presley and Connor here. It is day 4783 of quarantine, and I'm totally sane. I'm doing fine. Completely fine. No breakdowns. I'm just thriving, not losing my mind at all. Everything's great.
Not losing my mind at all. Well, there has been some talk of restaurants reopening in some places, and as we record this, some of them already have. We, Connor and I, and a lot of you have been unemployed for almost 2 months now, and we really want to know how you guys are all feeling about going back to work. So we did ask you guys to send in some responses. Some of you sent in not only how you're feeling about returning to work, but also some predictions on what it might be like when we return, because obviously things aren't just going to snap back to the way that they were.
Yeah, it's going to be a little weird for a while. How are you feeling about it?
To be completely honest, I experienced a lot of hysteria at the beginning of all of this, and the thought of returning to work gives me so much anxiety. I literally can't even imagine it for myself. I think that things are drastically going to change, and, you know, restaurants are going to reopen to some degree, and they're going to be serving food and great cocktails, but I'm not there for it, I don't think. I don't think it's worth it. Where are you at with it?
I don't know. I'm like all over. Yeah. I'm kind of all over. I just like, I'm part of me's antsy. I miss my coworkers. I'm willing to work, you know. It's been nice to be on unemployment, but like I'm all about working for my money. But then I am also kind of scared because I don't know, this virus is freaky. Like it's not just the super elderly and the super ill that are dying. It's starting to just hit random people that should have been fine. And so that's disconcerting, yeah. Right? And then on top of that, it's like, is it going to be worth it? Are we going to make any money if we're only operating at 25% capacity or 50% capacity? It's all going to be so weird. I don't know. I'm trying not to everyone's in it together, right? That's the good news, is that we're all in the same boat. So we all have to figure it out, and eventually things will be back to normal. I believe that, because there have been pandemics in the past and people still eventually recover and want to go out to eat and have a good time and not worry about it. So I think we'll get there. It's just going to be a weird few months, at least, I think, while we navigate it.
Totally. Have you seen that that video that's going viral of the girl serving the table and just like tossing things across the table because of the...
I love that. I wish we could do that even without a pandemic.
I feel like I definitely have a few times in the middle of a rush serving a table of assholes.
Yeah, it would come in handy when you have a table that's super needy and you're in the weeds. You're just like, here's your fucking hot tea. Throw it on the table.
So social distancing while eating then. So we're going to be wearing masks, right? That's a given. Are we going to have like cute new outfits that with like matching masks? Do we need to start a business and design new uniforms for everyone? Like, let's come up from this, con baby.
You and your business plans. First it's the silverware rolling machine, and now it's you want to design coordinated masks and gloves for serving uniforms.
Hey man, these are great ideas. You can't even deny it.
I admire your entrepreneurial spirit, but I'm not on board. I will not invest. Like I have any money to invest.
Well, either way, everybody's going to be wearing masks. How are people going to eat with masks on? How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, they can't. They have to lift it up. That's so ridiculous. Yeah. Like,
have you seen Sex in the City? You've seen Sex in the City, the movies, right?
No, I'm a bad gay. I've only seen one episode of Sex in the City in my life, and it was when that chick from Third Rock from the Sun fell out the window. And I thought that was hilarious, but that's the only episode I've seen.
I'm so disappointed. I literally thought that you would have seen it.
I'm
shocked.
I'm letting everyone down. I feel like I know enough just from like pop culture references. Like Charlotte was the goody goody, and Samantha was the like chic risque slut. Yeah, and then like the whole thing. Like I feel like I have a sense of it all, but I've only seen the one episode.
Well, in one of the movies that came out, the girls go to Abu Dhabi, and obviously it's a very, like, conservative place where the women have to cover every inch of their body, and there's a scene where they look over at a girl dining, and she's wearing a face mask, and they were like, how, shameful, she has to lift her mask for every French fry, and she's, like, eating French fries off of a fork, and that's what I imagine it being like when we go back to dining.
Okay, but instead of modesty and religious purposes, it's just going to be to not get COVID and die. Yeah, okay.
Yes, I get it. Slight difference.
I can roll with it. What a bizarre time to be alive, huh?
Oh, who would have thought? We went into 2020 like, this is our year. We're finally going to start saving money and living our lives, and maybe I'll get out of the service industry.
Yeah, I don't know. This just, it all fell apart. I feel it's like wild. The have you seen that article? Somebody sent it to me with the glass dividers between tables. Some places I guess are going to do that. That to me is like, well, yeah, but you still have a server that's going to every table. So I feel like it's kind of counterproductive. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I've definitely heard of this whole glass divider concept, but don't totally understand how it would work because of the server thing, but then also like basic cleaning procedures. Like I think bussers are going to be the only ones like really coming up from this. Like bussers are going to be so, so essential to making sure that procedures are kept.
Yeah. I think it's going to be all of us. I think as much as we hate cleaning now and feel like side work can be excessive, it's going to be intense. It's going to be like, get out the bleach and scrub every square inch of this place before you can go home.
Yeah, I'm not with that. I was okay with like getting by with what we were doing and obviously following the procedures we already had in place. But I'm not down for that. Especially, we have to understand that 25% capacity is what they are allotting when we eventually reopen. That means only 25% of the service industry is going to be able to return to work. And then on the other side of it, how many guests are going to be coming in and dining are like, you're not going to be making the same amount of money because it's not going to be how many tables can I take in a short amount of time. It's going to be, oh man, I hope that I get my job back. I hope that I get tables. I hope that people come dine and I hope that they tip well, because 20% wouldn't even cut it at a 25% of what you were used to.
I mean, that's a lot of variables. That's a lot of hoping. Also, it is kind of going to feel like a blow. Like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, we should all just stay on unemployment. I'm not, like, an idiot. But, like, it's going to be tough when some of us are making more than we were every week. And now we're going to go back to work and make less than we were before. Like, that's going to hurt.
Yeah. I've been hearing that people are making more money not serving than they were serving. But then also on the other side of it because it's like a thing in the service industry that some people really do not ever report cash tips. We're not condoning this, but it happens in the industry. And, you know, they've changed procedures to make it hard for people to do that, like from the IRS standpoint. But those people who weren't reporting cash tips, they're not receiving as much as they were secretly making. So they're probably really struggling right now.
That's true.
And then cash tips, people aren't going to be, are people even using cash anymore? Cash is so dirty.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to hand me cash. Not now. If they're like, oh, here, can I get change? I'd be like, no, sorry, you can leave that and I will spray it with bleach. Get out of here.
Cash used to be the most exciting thing to receive. Now it's going to be like the most horrifying, like rude thing. How dare you jeopardize my health with this cash tip?
And when I go to take somebody's card, I'm going to like walk over with a Lysol wipe and be like, place it on the wipe.
Oh, that's, yeah.
It's just like, wow. I don't know. It's all weird. It's like, it's going to be funny, but it's also like, it's such a weird thing because it's an enemy you can't see. Like, we can't see the virus. So it's easy to get carried away and be ridiculous and be like, nope, no one breathe on me. No one talk to me. No one look at me. Don't touch anything. But you also don't want to be too chill about it and be like, oh, it's fine. It's no big deal because people are dying. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, speaking of, you know, being too chill, is your apron clean right now? Con, baby, where's your apron?
I don't see what this has to do with anything, and I will not dignify that question with a response. My apron is filthy, and I think we both know that. It's just sitting in my car. I took it off after my last shift in the middle of March, threw it in my car, and it's just festering. I haven't seen it. What about
don't
you?
Don't worry, you're not alone.
I was going to say, are you a perfect, clean apron angel, and yours is spotless?
No, definitely not. I mean, like, I'm pretty OCD about folding my apron after a shift because I've just had so many mental breakdowns of, like, pulling my apron and just my shit flying everywhere. And just when you're already coming off of a bad shift or, like, mad that you're showing up for a shift, that's, like, that was my tipping point. So I just got really OCD about being neat about folding it up, so my crusty apron is perfectly folded somewhere in my closet, which is so disgusting. But you know what? I'm not alone. I guarantee at least 50% of other servers haven't washed theirs either. You freaking nasties. Let's wash our aprons together.
I like that you said my crusty apron is perfectly folded. Like, it's just like a mixed, like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, it's we're going to have to make some lifestyle changes. That's what I'm gathering.
I've needed to make lifestyle changes for 31 years. So take a number.
Oh, God. Well, we did ask on the last episode for people to tell us how they were feeling about everything and, you know, kind of what they were experiencing. And some of these responses were super insightful. And I've, you know, after reading over some of them, I was honestly so excited to do this episode and talk about all of this because everywhere that is, I mean, the whole world is experiencing this and so many different restaurants are responding differently. But apparently in Sweden, restaurants literally never closed. But this person wrote in and they said the change is very obvious on a Friday night where they're usually running with a 7 floor. They're literally running on a 2 floor. And then they also mentioned that the other restaurants that didn't close that have patio areas are the ones that are doing a little bit better. Which is so, like, crazy to think about that Sweden didn't even close restaurants and they went from a 7 to a 2 floor. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. People don't want to risk it. Even if the government's not forcing you to shut down, business is going to suffer, right? Because a lot of people are like, I'm not risking it.
Yeah. And I don't blame them. I feel like I would be hysteric going into a restaurant, which is... I don't want to be, and I'm definitely going to dine when it feels right, and that's not something I'm never going to do, but this transitionary period is going to be odd to see. Like, if Sweden didn't even close restaurants, we closed them, are people going to go the opposite direction and, like, really, really want to dine out, or are people going to kind
probably.
Of react like Sweden?
I mean, if you think about people at the beach during this whole thing, as soon as they were like, oh, you can go to the beach, it was mobbed. So maybe it's the same kind of thing. People are just antsy and ready. Who knows? Maybe it'll be busy. Maybe it'll be business will be booming. Who knows?
Maybe people will finally start reading the please wait to be seated sign.
Yeah. I love that.
I can't take credit for that. That's what somebody wrote in, and it was my favorite response, I think.
Yeah. Probably not still. People are still going to storm in and sit at a dirty table and be like, hello? I'm going to be like, okay, well, you just got COVID, so.
You just got COVID. Congrats.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. It's going to be wild. Definitely, I feel like buffets would freak me out. Somebody sent that in, too. They were like, probably no buffets. Just overall weirdness.
Buffets are not a Oh, yeah. Those buffets are not a thing at all, for sure. Those are gone. They were gross to begin with.
Yeah. like, my silence. I'm like, I mean, I've enjoyed a buffet or two.
Yeah.
No, but they are. Yeah, it's definitely not something I would go near in a pandemic, for sure.
Totally. And a lot of people wrote in kind of negative things, but I want to... One person wrote something very positive that I want to share. They said, it's going to be slow for a while, but things will get back to normal when people realize they aren't in danger if we follow the restrictions. So whoever wrote this in, they're opening on the 11th, and they're opening at a 33% capacity. And this person is happy to be going back to work and be part of a restaurant that is actually reopening. This is the only person I've seen and talked to this whole thing that's like, I'm excited to go back to work.
Like, super positive about it.
Yeah, they're literally the only ones that are excited to be going back to work. Because if you think of it, nobody loves doing what we do. Like, obviously we can find joy in it and it complements our lifestyles. But for the most part, a lot of people felt relief of not having to go to this job that they don't love, that doesn't fill their soul. So in a lot of ways, people are loving this forced hiatus. For the first few weeks, I loved it. I don't want to go back to work. I just want social interaction. But to be excited to return to working is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people are feeling that too, where they're like, do I even want to go back? What am I doing with my life? And not just in serving. Like, I have friends in different industries that I've been talking to, people that have been building a career, and they're just like, this whole thing has made me realize that I'm not on the path I want to be on, or that I'm not like enjoying my life, even if I am on the path I thought I wanted. So it's making everybody introspective, servers for sure, because we're like, wait a minute, what was I doing again? Why was I there? But yeah, I think I miss making money. I miss, like, it's nice to have the whole unemployment thing, but it feels uneasy, and it's not a great feeling to feel like you're relying on something else. You know what I mean? It's nice when you feel like you're earning it for yourself. But
yeah,
I don't know that I miss serving per se. It's yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's like that really popular famous quote that's like, we weren't put on this planet to just work and die. And I think right now everybody's really experiencing like, who am I? What is my identity? Like, we've created this structure of society where we can really be whoever we want to be in the restrictions of how culture and society are run. And now all of those kind of like blockers are gone. So many people are struggling with identity. Who am I without this thing that I was told that I had to do in order to live and be happy? So it's going to be a wild ride to see how people respond. And hopefully we all respond in like a positive way. I think as far as the industry goes, it's going to be exciting to watch restaurants shift because instead of having and this is something I talked with Aaron about on the Balanced Life episode that we did when he was a guest, essentially saying that as of, you know, now or up until now, restaurants were kind of expected to have something to offer to everyone. You know, you didn't just have a steak, you also had like salads, and like maybe some places had sushi, and you're like, why are they offering sushi where there's steak? Like, but that's surf and turf, that's great. But now I'm confusing you, but like essentially I think restaurants are really gonna have to get niche and be really, really good at what they do in simple ways and not try and please everyone and just fill up their restaurant with anyone that can. That's like my big prediction of what might shift in the industry in general.
It's a tricky thing to navigate, I think, from a business standpoint. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not trying to just rake in as much cash as possible from being full and busy all the time, you got to figure something else out. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. I mean, the other night it was my roommate, my best friend's birthday, Bo, you know, Bo. And I was trying to order something sweet for him, and I chose DK Donuts because they were also offering Lysol wipes. Well, like alcohol wipes. So it wasn't like I was just getting donuts. I was also receiving something that I like really essentially need and I haven't been able to get from my grocery deliveries, which is such a crazy concept to think about. So yeah, restaurants and businesses are getting really strategic to stay afloat and provide people with what they need.
Oh, that's clever.
And want.
And that would work on me because I'd be like, it's like the opposite of you where I, like, sure, I would like to have the wipes, but I need a donut. So, like, it's a, it's, yeah, they're meeting so many essential needs for various people in all walks of life. I love that for them.
Well, now you know, DK Donuts, this is not sponsored. They're just really good donuts.
Next time, I'm like, you know what? I feel like I should get some wipes. Oh, I'll go there because I need a donut. Yeah, I love that. So one of the responses we got is they make a good point. They say people are going to be more visual about cleanliness and anything that seems dirty, like more so than usual. So even like a streaky silverware or a water spot on a plate, people are going to be like, nope, this place is dirty. So that's what I mean about like it spilling over into our cleaning duties. I feel like they're going to really ramp up the responsibility of servers to clean. Which I get it. It makes sense. It's for like public health. It's a genuine issue. But we all know that when your feet hurt and your back hurts and you're tired after a busy shift and you just want to roll your silverware, wipe shit down and get out, they're going to be like, you need to scrub the floor, make sure you've extra polished things, spray everything down. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. Somebody wrote in one of their predictions was that we were going to be moving to like disposable silverware and plates, like essentially that we wouldn't even mess with making the general public share something like that. We would just buy plastic utensils, which would be so bad for the environment. So I think that we need to get like Ecolab or ServeSafe up in this bitch and let us know what realistically is going to happen. How cool would that be? If anybody listening has a hookup to ServeSafe or Ecolab, hit us up because I would love to talk to them about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is because plastic is, yeah. This is, especially here in LA, like this is a city that banned straws and now might we switch to plastic and disposable cutlery and plates? Like that's, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, obviously you have to put public health and safety first, but I don't know if that's the right answer.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows. I don't know. Somebody else wrote in and they said, this is really morbid, okay? Bear with me.
Uh-oh.
I have a maybe not so irrational fear that entitled idiots are going to shoot people if they don't get their way. Crying, laughing, eyes closed emoji. Which is so scary. And somebody else wrote in less Karens. So maybe just the way that people are dining is going to be more entitled, or the people coming in are not going to be Karens. Like, I guess those are two very different
responses. I feel like we would get more Karens. I feel like more people are going to just carry that general anxiety that we're all feeling and carry it with them into the restaurant and be like, okay, I need to control everything. I need to complain. I need to be super vigilant about everything that's happening around me instead of just like, hi, I'm out to enjoy a nice dinner. So I feel like it's going to be more Karens.
Yeah, which doesn't sound like a pleasant experience, to be honest. I think that, oh my gosh, I think that taco trucks are going to thrive. They're going to pull up to a park and you go up, you get your safe meal and you find a nice patch of grass far away from everyone and you just enjoy it. I feel like nature's really the best thing that we all have right now. Like I think that confined spaces are going to make people a little bit crazy.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because I have a friend that was saying he wouldn't be surprised if more and more restaurants shift to like counter service, like you go and pick up your food and you can still dine in and sit at a table, but the tables will be all spaced and then people can just go get their food, and that's less of a risk of spreading, because if you have a server then they're interacting with all these different people, and even if you're keeping your distance from the strangers two tables over, the server is breathing their air and then breathing your air, and it's a whole thing. But that's bad news for servers. So who knows? I mean, I'm sure, I think everyone wants to get back to normal, right? People want to dine out. I miss dining out with my friends. I miss Sunday brunch, like when I wasn't working it. I miss all of that. And I think everyone wants to get there, but the process of getting there, it's going to be weird. We're going to have to figure out some things as we go, for sure.
Totally. Somebody wrote in and they said, I'm a server at a Legoland hotel and I'm not even sure what to expect.
At a Legoland hotel. That sounds...
Legos are gross. They're so gross to begin with. You think of Legos before this and you're like, Legos, kids, germs, ugh. Legoland, you're fucked.
Yeah. I feel like it's good that mostly children are not super affected by COVID, it seems. But they can all be carriers. So yeah, I would not want to work in a place that was catering to kids. That would be like, okay, well, I just feel like I need to scrub my skin off when I get home.
Oh my gosh. I was reading, I don't know if you got my text this morning, but I was reading the New York Times California Today edition, and it essentially outlined what it would take for California restaurants to reopen. And it had all these, like, you know, no new cases over than one over a course of like 14, like all this like kind of very detailed stuff that I don't know if it's going to be passed. People are pushing back on it and stuff. But in this article, they also mentioned that we're taking a huge risk right now by, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. And it's a die that we are rolling, and it could be okay or it could be really, really bad. But then they're experimenting with reopening like kindergartens and children gathering because they think that they're less susceptible, which all of this is just in theory hoping for the best, which is not the best approach. That's like opening a restaurant, not establishing procedures and being like, well, hopefully we don't kill any more people.
Jesus.
I know it's morbid. It's hard for my brain to not go there.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, we, you know, we want to laugh and we want to like make light of it all because it's a release that we all need. And I like laughter, I think, is carrying so many of us through. But speaking of laughter, one of the responses I just saw that made me smile, somebody said, when I forget about a table, I'll have an excuse that I was practicing social distancing. I love that.
Oh, that's so good. That's like when I would forget to put a plate in, or I would fuck up an order, I would go up to the table and say, I am so, so sorry. It wasn't made properly. Like, I wouldn't have eaten it, so I'm making them remake it for you even better. I'm so sorry about that. And they're like, oh, thank you so much.
You're such a liar.
Now it's, no, I didn't forget about you. I'm just being safe and distancing. I didn't see that you needed me. I was watching you from afar.
I was maintaining my distance like Dr. Fauci recommended. I was standing in the corner. You seemed fine. I apologize.
Yeah, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. And I want to hear about how to-go is doing, because a lot of restaurants are, you know, they're all doing to-go. That's the only way that they're trying to stay afloat, and how their business is doing. I mean, I have friends that are in management in, you know, some of the local businesses to us, but I don't know the numbers of, you know, how they're staying afloat and what their margins are and, you know, how they're taking care of their employees right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. And here's a kind of change of direction. What is the process going to be like if 25% of the industry is going to get their job back? It's going to be super competitive. How are managers going to go about choosing that 25% that get their jobs back?
Obviously, the pretty people. Like, I expect a call. I want them to be like, hey, we were thinking about who we want to keep, and we can't imagine a workplace without that bod. And I'd be like, I understand. I'll be there.
I agree. And I'm upset because I'm not going to get a call. And I know that, but I'm okay with that, you know?
I just, you know, you said it. We were all thinking it, but you said it.
But you said it.
It's weird. I don't know, man. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I don't know what it's going to be like to go back to serving. If I go back to serving, I think a lot of people are just feeling that uncertainty. And like we said earlier, I think it's comforting to know that we're not alone. You know what I mean? Like, this is not just a personal crisis. This is a global crisis. This is a national issue. All the servers in America, well, in most states, have had time off to think and reflect, and they have these fears and these opinions. And even if you think that, you know, the whole thing is blown out of proportion and you're going to be fine and you're not worried for yourself, there's still just like that social anxiety that's blanketed over everybody, and that has to impact you. You have to feel the weirdness, even if you're not personally all that worried about it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Well, you had even mentioned something that, you know, the thought of going back to work is super nerve-wracking, but if your job is offered, you feel like you have to take it because you don't have another option. So then it's walking this line of, you know, things opening back up and you being put in a position where you have to compromise your sanity and your health to survive and feed yourself because the government hasn't totally been doing a great job. I literally still haven't received unemployment money. I Yikes. Got the stimulus check, but I've submitted 2 claims. I've sent 5 emails over the past 2 months, have not received anything back, haven't gotten anyone on the phone. And all I've gotten was that stimulus check. I'm very lucky that I have, you know, friends and family that are able to, you know, help me out. I'm not starving. I have a roof over my head. But long term, the fuck am I going to do? Am I going to keep digging myself into a financial rent hole? And like, am I going to be forced to leave my home? Then am I going to have to be forced to go put my health at risk when I'm like kind of hysteric right now?
Yeah.
And I mean, this is just me. I don't know how many other people.
No, I think that's anxiety. Legit. I think that's like the question of this whole time that everyone, even at a government level, is facing, is what's more important: the well-being of every single person in our society or the dollar? Like
the dollar.
It's not to get all soapboxy and heavy, but like that is something that we all, and it's not just servers, like servers are facing this as we potentially have to go back to work, but there are people that have been working this whole time, people that work in grocery stores. Like, we talk about how serving is not the dream for many of us that are serving. I'm sure working in a grocery store is not the dream for many people that are working in a grocery store, and yet they were put in that position of, well, do I keep working and support myself and have the money, or do I like acknowledge that I'm at risk and cater to my like personal safety and well-being? It's a weird position to be in.
Yeah, totally. After, was it our last episode, and we talked about what tipping is like for like groceries and delivery right now, I've definitely been tipping 25-30% now because it just does not like it just it's crazy that so many people are putting their health and life on the line for the dollar. Yeah. But we are so grateful. If that's you out there and you're still showing up to your place of work and putting your health at risk, thank you. Thank you to everyone that is, you know, serving and showing up to scary hospitals, and, you know, the rest of us all, we're complaining because we're just like sitting around and we're like have nothing to do. But there are people that are still grinding for that dollar bill, but it needs to be done. I mean, somebody has to move product, and we need product. When I say product, I mean food. Like, that's why restaurants exist. Humans need to eat. We need food. So,
yeah.
Damn.
It's a weird thing. It raises a lot of questions about how society operates, about societal values, about our personal values. It's an intense time, but we're not gonna solve anything on this podcast, I don't think. We're not gonna come up with the answers.
We don't have the answers.
We're just here to acknowledge that things are super fucked up right now, and whatever you're feeling, it's okay. Like, all of us are feeling, like, I have days, I think we talked about this maybe on another episode, but, like, I have days where I feel totally fine, and I'm like, it's not a big deal. Everything's gonna blow over. We're doing what we should be doing, and yeah, like, it's a tragedy, but we're all good. Like, I'm good. It's gonna be fine. And then I have other days where I'm like, I can't leave this apartment. I'm gonna die. So it's just like, I feel like you just gotta roll with it. Take it day by day. And that's the same approach to returning to normal. Take it day by day. Follow the guidelines and be as smart as you can and make your choices as they come, and we'll all get through it. Eventually we'll be on the other side of this.
Totally. Totally. Take advantage of whatever free time you can. Try and stay positive. The mind goes into bad places sometimes for all of us. I definitely feel you on that. I'll wake up and I'll you know, not forget, but I won't sit in it and, you know, experience it. I will acknowledge that what's happening in the world is happening, but then try and make my experience as positive and, you know, good as I can. But then, man, I'll just, like, hit a wall and I'll just, like, have a panic attack. And so just learning good coping mechanisms. And if you're just listening to this episode and you haven't listened to the episode that we did with Molly, definitely go check it out. And it just talks about coping with stress during times like this. And she offers us so much good stuff just about, you know, interpersonal exploration and breathing and very little things that you can do to improve your experience, because at the end of the day, your days end up being your life. Like, what you do during your day, that becomes your life. And my life has been serving for many, many years, and it doesn't define who I am. But now I'm in a place where I'm, you know, assessing the way that I've lived my life and what I want my days to be filled with. And that's, you know, that's the silver lining of, as shitty as all of this is, we get to kind of overlook everything. And in crisis, there is opportunity. And, you know, all we can really do is look for good opportunities for ourselves in this. That's my positive message for the day.
Presley 2020. I would vote for that.
Holler. all right. Well, anything else you wanna add?
I don't know. I haven't stopped thinking about donuts since that story, so that's all I've got. Well, that's all I've got on the brain. It's like, where can I get a donut? Is it unethical to go out into the world? And it's not an essential thing, right? But to some of us, it is. Like, I'm thinking about it.
Hey, order it. Order it with some wipes, and it's guilt-free. Yeah. It all balances out. It'll be delivered. You'll tip, you know, 25-30%, and you'll have some cleaning product. I see it as a win-win.
No, I really should not have a donut. That's the last thing that I actually need. But I don't know. It sounds good.
Yeah, okay.
Wipes and a donut. I'm into it.
Oh, well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We do know that it is super tough times right now for a lot of us, but we will make it through this one day at a time. Stay positive, stay productive, check in with your family and friends, tell them that you love them. Make sure that you're following us and subscribed. All subscriptions to this podcast help us in every way that you can ever imagine. It is literally the virtual equivalent of a tip. So please subscribe, share with your friends, have them subscribe too. And we'll look forward to chatting next week.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.